Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is how we do it. Here we go. Here we go, people. Once again, the Sports Authority and other stuff. We are doing what we do. Like I said, we have some basketball talk we're going to get into this evening. We have, what else did I say? We had a little football. NBA action is going on. But, man, first, let's get it cracking with the tournament. The NCAA tournament, a lot of people thought they had this figured out, myself included. We had our top seeds or whoever you had going. If you are even a player on the South Carolina team, you did not seriously have yourself going this far in the tournament. If you say you did, you're lying. Don't lie. Don't lie. We know you're lying. So the games will be this Saturday. The Final Four will be this Saturday, and then we will jump into the main game on Monday night. I see my man is here. Let me bring him on in. P-Dawg, what's going on? How you doing this evening, brother?
What tournament? I heard you talking about a tournament. Was there some type of tournament going on the past couple weeks?
Man, the way my bracket looks, not really.
Yeah, me either. So my NIT bracket is holding pretty strong.
Yeah, well. What about your CIBCUBA? Dude on the radio, I love this face here. But he was touting that tournament because he was announcing the UIC game. And I said on Facebook, I was like, yeah, dude, this is gonna be a tough sell for you.
Yeah.
I barely cared about the NIT, and that's because Illinois was in. And once they were out, I literally gave zero. You know what? UIC, I don't watch, it's hard to watch a tournament where teams were not 500 or were barely
right.
500. Nah, I'm good on that. But as far as this tournament here we got going on, how troubled are your brackets at this point?
My bracket is over. I mean, honestly, I have a saying that as long as your Final Four teams are alive, you're still breathing and kicking. In a moment, Duke lost. that started the downfall for me, because I had them going to the championship game and losing to North Carolina. Duke lost.
Right.
My other Final Four pick, Arizona, went down. And, of course, Kansas did what Kansas does. Even though I thought Kansas would make it to the Final Four before they had a Kansas game.
Right.
Well,
right.
We see how that worked out.
Yeah, I actually – usually I pick against Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
This year I picked them thinking that they would – you know, I thought this was a good year for them, quite honestly.
Right.
I mean, Kentucky's a young team. Duke was up and down. North Carolina was, you know, was the real – you know, and Kansas, obviously. And I mean, but the problem with Kansas was, and I can't say it's what's always the problem, but this year, you know, like, I'm not one of those people that says, especially when a team loses, like I heard a guy saying, oh, well, you know, they hadn't faced adversity. Well, you know, they weren't undefeated, so they faced adversity.
Correct.
Now, how much adversity? Okay. I'm not one of those people that says, oh, well, they lost because they didn't face adversity. You know, they faced adversity. No, they lost because they picked the one night that nobody could hit jumpers, while on the other hand, the other team was hitting everything. I think they were 60% from the field against Kansas in the first half.
Yeah, they were hot.
You can't win a basketball game. I won't say you can't win, but it's hard to win a basketball game when you allow another team to shoot 60% from the floor. Let's just talk about the elephant in the room, the obvious surprise. As I was saying earlier, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen South Carolina play once this year. So I'm going to be up front and say, I did not see this. I did not see this run. I saw them playing good basketball, but I just didn't think even on their best. I, you know how you say you have to play your best game to beat team XYZ? I didn't think on their best day they could beat the team they beat. What are your thoughts on South Carolina?
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I remember before, as I was filling out my bracket, I happened to be listening to the radio, and it was one of the talking heads on there. Can't remember the station. And, you know, they were going through the bracket too. And he was saying that the game that really scared him, because he was a Duke guy, he had Duke winning it. And he said that he felt like Duke's most challenging game was going to be that second round game in South Carolina, because it was basically going to be our home game for them. And he said that he felt like Duke really got a bad draw to play them there. And I remember him saying that, but I was like, nah, Duke should be okay. But they defend. But I didn't think offensively they would be able to make the run that they have. And I'm just so not much of a Frank Martin guy that I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit biased toward his teams. I mean, he could be coach of the USA national team, and I probably wouldn't watch. That's how I feel about that guy. So I definitely didn't see them doing this. Now, Oregon, on the other hand, was a team that initially I was going to pick them to at least make the Elite Eight, but they had an injury to one of their big guys at the end of the season. And of course, then I outsmarted myself and said, well, that injury is going to catch up with them and knock them down. But that's a complete basketball team. That's a good team out there.
And you know, I think, you know how it appears over the years, there have been those guys that you really didn't know too much about or literally nothing, and then they had a nice tournament. You know, I liken back to Harold the Show Arsenault. I had never heard of Harold Arsenault. He comes into the tournament, shows out. And I remember saying, ooh, he should probably go to the league now because I don't know if he can do this again. He didn't. Never heard from him again. I say that to bring up Sendarius Thornwell. I've heard the name. Didn't know too much about him. When he had this nice little tournament run, I said, well, let me go look at his numbers, you know. Okay, let me go see let me see. Dude has been – he averages 20-7 on the season, which is – you know, for a college cat, that's pretty good, especially in the SEC when you have to play Kentucky twice. you know, he's played, well, I guess you do. I don't know nowadays with these mismatched tournaments, you know, I guess you really don't know. But, you know, and I'm looking at his numbers, and he's a pretty consistent cat, man. He's pretty consistent from a scoring. You know, he had 44 against Alabama. He had one game in January where he went for 34 against Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on him based on what you've seen in the tournament? And quite honestly, I don't even know what you've seen because nobody was really checking for South Carolina the first two games.
Right. It's sort of what I've seen all year. I think he's a gritty player. I think he's a smart player. I'm not sure as far as next level ability, but if he's going to go, I'm not sure what year he is either. I'm not sure if he's underclassmen, but heck, everybody is. Okay, well, that takes that out of the equation.
As far as next level,
I'm not sure. You know what it sort of reminds me of? Remember the guy from Wichita State a couple years ago? They got drafted by New York. I believe he was only a
– Yep.
I can't remember his name. It's slipping my mind right now. But he sort of reminds me of that guy.
I know who you're talking about.
Right.
Well, he's listed at 6'5", which means he's probably 6'3 and a half, 6'4".
Right.
So – but, you know, players have been drafted off less Tyrus Thomas. So, you know, who knows?
Tyrus
Maybe he'll get a chance, you know.
Williams from Arizona. Remember when he had the big tournament against Duke? I mean, the big game against Duke, and that shot him up the boards. R.J. Hunter.
His dad got, falling out the chair.
Right. So we see it every year. We'll see the kid who has the big tournament and stock sort of explodes because, you know, people are prisoners of the moment.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and unfortunately, when jobs are riding on it, you would think that those people would be a little bit smarter than that. You know, it's kind of like I've said about the combine. You know, at some point, what a player did for 3 or 4 years on the field should count for something.
Correct.
I guess what I'm saying is what this kid did for 3 or 4 years, you know, it kind of should count for something. And, you know, his freshman year, just go real quick, his freshman year he averaged, and I'm going to give points, and because he only had, his most assists was 3.8, and that was his junior year, so I'll go points and rebounds. 13 and a half and 4, 11 and 5, 13 and 5, and then this year 20 and 7. So, I, you know, I guess you just got to go back and look at what he's done, and if you're a GM and see, I mean, I don't know that he's a first-round pick, but I think he'll have an opportunity to make somebody's roster. And if they mess around and beat Gonzaga, he'll definitely have an opportunity just off, you know, just – and if he plays a good game, just off name alone. But speaking of that, let's go down to Gonzaga pairs. People that, you know, or as Trey likes to call them, casuals. Think Gonzaga.
Please don't mention that dude's name. Don't mention
him. They think Gonzaga is a cute story. When in fact Gonzaga was a number one seed. I think some people tend to forget, Paris, that Gonzaga did not they aren't South Carolina. South Carolina is what Gonzaga was for 10 years. That team that nobody quote unquote wanted to play, and you know, except Gonzaga's a small school. What are your thoughts on Gonzaga? I mean, quite honestly, just my quick opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty basic route to the to their Final Four appearance. But what are your thoughts on Gonzaga going into this game Sunday night?
They're
or
good.
Saturday,
I had
sorry,
a lose into. I had a lose into. I don't want to sidebar, but would you go watch the team's practice if you could? Because
if I could, I would.
Paper. Yeah. Okay. I might.
Yeah.
I plan on taking my son to the. They have you know, the little Final Four experience thing. I was going to take
him
to that, but then Friday, I can take him to the practice too, and I'm confused. I'm like, so do we go to the practice or do we go to the NCAA Final Four experience thing? I'm really.
Well, you know what? Now that you mentioned that as well, I guess you kind of gotta find a middle ground on what you want and what he would enjoy as well. And the practice would probably be something you would enjoy more.
That's what I would think.
Be something he'd enjoy more. So the experience might be better off as far as a moment that he'll remember for the rest of his life with his pops. You know, the experience might be the better move.
Right. Okay.
Maybe.
We'll see.
You know, if your son can sit still for 3 hours, maybe practice. I don't know. As, you know, if he's like his pops, sitting still for 3 hours ain't really his forte. That's not something he wants to do.
Correct.
You know, so... All right, so go ahead, man. You were saying about Gonzaga.
They are a very solid team. This team has a little bit more scoring ability than your typical Gonzaga team, even though I had them losing to Arizona, who always finds a way to let me down, too. I swear to God, I'm not picking Arizona. I will never pick Arizona or Kansas to make it to the Elite Eight again. I swear to God. I don't care if they had the dream team reincarnated. I'm not picking either one of them schools ever. But this is a very good team. But I get what you're saying, because I've been seeing people posting going, I told you, Gonzaga. And I'm like, dude, they were number one seed. You know,
right,
they're
I'm
sort
not
of like
props.
Supposed to. Yeah, they're supposed to be here. Gonzaga
right.
was good all year. They're sort of like Butler. They don't get the whole Little Sisters of the Poor thing anymore. That ship has sailed. That is now a good program.
Right.
You know, the newness is worn off.
Giving Gonzaga credit for making it to the Final Four is like giving a dude props for taking care of his child. You're supposed to do that.
Yeah. pretty much. You know,
yeah,
I guess Wichita State still gets, you know, until Wichita State makes a deep tourney run, I guess they can get that, you know, that job, but, you know, they can fill that role. But otherwise, yeah.
You know what Wichita State is to me? VCU waiting to happen. As soon as Greg Marshall leaves,
they'll fall back.
Wichita State will just beat Wichita State. I mean, because VCU, I think they made the tournament this year. Yeah, they lost to St. Mary's. But it's VCU. I mean, who's checking? If you're a player, who's checking VCU? The one thing that attracted people to VCU, players to VCU, was Shaka Smart. He left.
Right.
Then the new young coach they brought in left. He was there for this year. Shaka Smart has been in Texas 1 year, right?
I want to say two.
Was 1 year? The young coach that's been at VCU since Shaka left, now he's gone.
Uh-huh.
So I think Wichita State is a Greg Marshall promotion to a big school away from just being another team. So with that said, Pete, who do you have? Gonzaga, South Carolina, Saturday evening. It says 5:09, so I'm guessing that's some time. Who do you have?
I'm going to go with the Zags. I think this will be a ugly game. I think the first team is 60. If a team makes it to 60 wins, I can see one of those.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the type of game that you have to be a college basketball fan to appreciate. Because, you know, this is a game where you'll see the difference between the NBA and the college, because it's going to be slow. I think it's going to be methodical. Both teams defend really well. Gonzaga having time to prepare for the press is good. And them playing West Virginia, I think, will inadvertently help them also, because they've seen as sort of a high-pressure team recently. And since Martin did coach under Bobby Huggins, I'm sure there's, you know, some similarities there in the styles and in the way that they press. So I think that helps Gonzaga. And I see them winning one of those ugly games, 58-54.
And you know what I forgot to mention, and I'm sure it does not sway your opinion one way or the other. I didn't know Frank Martin had a black wife. I found that out today.
Yeah, I knew that.
I did not know that.
I knew that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's of Cuban descent. Yeah, he's a pretty interesting dude, but I just, you know, from a coach's point of view, I just don't like his style, man. It's sort of like Bobby Knight. I don't get it. I play
and
for a lot
I
of guys.
You...
I study a lot of coaches, and I just don't agree.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's so over the top. And to me, that's grandstanding on the sidelines where you're doing all this yelling and screaming and cursing every game. You know,
it seems
I,
like he's calmed down a little bit, though. I wondered if he was – I couldn't remember if he had gotten sick or something, but it seems like he's calmed down compared to his Kansas State days.
Yeah, remember when he used to be on the sidelines and he would be, like, literally looking like he was about to,
oh,
you know, pass out?
He had that scowl and that you looked like he was about – he looked like he was about to choke somebody out. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
exactly.
I was like, what is wrong with this dude?
Frank wasn't having it. Yeah, but I can't argue with your Bobby Knight. But I just the difference that I, in my opinion, the difference
mm-hmm.
without having any interaction with either of them is that
right.
I got the sense that the kids at Kansas State actually like Frank Martin. Like they know this is just him coaching. It's not him all the time. I think Bobby Knight was just an ass all the time, and I don't think his players really they respected him. But they respected him out of fear. I don't necessarily think they
right.
liked Bobby. If that makes any sense. If that makes any sense.
Makes
so.
Sense.
Okay, that's just me. All right, now let's go to the game of the evening. I have to work Saturday, and first Saturday in a month, I have to work. And I don't think I was thinking about taking a personal day. I'm like you said, when you're talking about South Carolina Gonzaga, that has a chance to be a game where you just say to yourself, "Damn, I should have went to work." But the game that I'm looking forward to seeing Paris, Oregon, North Carolina, both teams are going to want to run up and down the floor. I picked Kansas to win the tournament over Villanova.
Mm-hmm.
So, excuse me. So at this point, the only dog I have in the race is seeing Oregon and South Carolina win, simply because that means that nobody would have picked them to win the championship. I'm taking North Carolina. And I'll get into the reasons why after you take the floor. Oregon, North Carolina, who do you have and why?
North Carolina, because I picked them to win the tournament. Because I think they're a complete team. I think that as long as Joe Berry's ankles can remain intact, I mean, this dude and his ankles is starting to worry me. But they're very solid. They can play fast. They can slow down. They can grind you. Berry's a solid point guard. You got the two big boys inside, like Meeks, who seems like he's been there for 6 years. I like Jackson. Side note, I feel like Jackson might be a guy that we might see in a Bulls uniform next year, but we'll get into that closer as we get to the draft. But I like Jackson. I feel like he's a big-time player, you know, big-time shot maker. You need that guy that can get you a tough bucket, and I feel like that's his role. And Oregon, or like I say, Oregon's good, you know. They're real good. I'm sure it's going to be a good game. I just think the North Carolina play is a little bit better.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for the stage. Oregon has played on TV. They've played on ESPN. They've played the game of the night, whatever night 12 plays their games on ESPN. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend like they've never played in front of a big audience in a big arena, blah, 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 blah. But
right.
North Carolina, the pedigree, every year they have somebody that's played the big game on the big stage, whether it was Duke twice on ESPN. They felt the pressure. They felt the fan base, expectations, the wants and needs of the fans. If it comes down to that type of thing, if you believe in that type of thing, then you take North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
A simpler put answer, Paris, is what you said. They're just more talented.
Right.
They're just more talented. It's really not that scientific. When you talk about North Carolina, like you said, you talked about Berry. Something about that Berry irritates me. I don't know if it's the beard or the hair. Something about that cat. But that aside, the kid can play. And I hope, like you said, I hope his ankles hold up. You never want to see a young man, you know, just a quick side note. It really irritated me. I don't want to say irritated me, but it kind of bothered me, I'll say, that I heard people cracking on the Kentucky players for crying. I'm like, man, those are kids, dude. They're
right.
crying because they I prefer to see kids crying when they lost than to be saying, well, you know, I'm about to leave school anyway and go get ready for the draft.
Yeah,
they're 18, 19-year-old kids.
You know,
they still got teens on the back of their age, bro.
Yeah, you know, pro players cry in you know, sometimes in the playoffs. Definitely, you know, you've seen guys in the finals break down before. You know, it's a lot of emotion. Like you said, they're young men. They've worked hard. You know, this is a dream. It's a lot of work to go.
And there it is, Paris.
You know,
there it is. You said it right there. It's a dream. That was their dream as a kid, was to make it to the NCAA championship game. That was their dream. Some people's dream is to graduate from high school. Some is to graduate from college. Others is to move out and get their own house, have a baby. That was their dream. They'll have other dreams, but that was their dream. And I thought it was kind of, I don't want to say it was cool, but it was kind of, I don't want to say heartwarming, but it was. But as a man, as a 46-year-old man, and as much crap as kids take from us older people, for whatever reason, it was cool to see kids being kids. It was cool to see kids just caring, you know, and to see a one player with his arm around the other guy consoling him, like, man, this is my boy, and he's hurting, and I'm hurting.
Right.
And I thought it was kind of cool. People are gonna crack jokes, and it is what it is, you know. But back to it. North Carolina is just—they're just more talented. They got bigger bodies. Well, I don't say bigger bodies, but I think they're—I think athletically, Paris. I think teams match up athletically. As a matter of fact, Oregon might be more athletic. But that name you mentioned, Jackson, I think that kid is a difference maker. I don't think we're going to get him in a Bulls uniform only because I think he'll be gone whenever we pick. Quite honest.
No.
Short of the Bulls.
No, he won't. Nah.
You don't think? Where do you think? Well, let me ask you this first. Nope. Where do you think we're going to pick? Let me ask you that first.
I think we'll be around 15, 16, and I think that's where he's going to be.
So you're assuming we won't make the playoffs?
No, we will.
Okay, you think we'll be at 15? Oh, that's right, because 14 is the cutoff.
Right.
And you think that Justin Jackson will be there at 15? Okay. I haven't studied the draft information.
So many,
I kind of thought,
you know,
it would go top 10. That was just me, though. Go ahead.
So many, you know, underclassmen as usual, you know, that those guys will dominate the draft. And a guy like Jackson, he's sort of like Denzel Valentine, to where, you know, a guy like those, they hang around, and the longer they're around, they tend to lose value. That's just the way NBA looks at players.
Well, what year is
he? You know, like junior, I believe, junior.
Okay.
You know, like the guy in Milwaukee, that they called a mayor. The what is his name? Brogdon, I believe. You know, guys like that who've been around, who they've seen for a long time. You know, they tend to fall out of favor.
Okay, we'll see. I thought he would go a little bit higher. I'm trying to look up some draft information because now I'm kind of curious as to where they have him. But yeah, you know, North Carolina, I think, will win the game because I think they have more talent. But that said, Paris, Oklahoma, Oregon can win the game. I don't think it's out of the realm. Yeah, I don't think it's out of the realm. I mean, we watched Kansas have the worst shooting night they could have. And if North Carolina comes in and does not get it done, and let's be honest, we've seen Roy choke. We've seen Roy teams choke before. So it wouldn't be the first time. You know, he kind of started it at Kansas. As a matter of fact, let's be honest, we think what we think about Kansas because of Roy. let's just put that out there. That was originated.
True.
The lack of faith in Kansas started with Roy Williams. It didn't start with Bill Self. It started with Roy Williams. So, and Dana Altman's a good coach. So I can't even, you know, I mean, obviously people are going to say Roy's a better coach because, you know, he coached at Kansas and North Carolina. But Dana Altman's a Dana Altman. I think I'm saying the name right. Yeah, he's a solid coach as well. So we have some solid cats as far as coaching pedigree, name. You know, Mark Few isn't necessarily a household name to people that just watch the tournament only, but to college basketball fans, all four of these coaches are known. You know, with the exception of South Carolina, all the teams are known. You might not know Gonzaga player for player, but you know about Gonzaga. You know who they are coming in. So you're picking Gonzaga, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. You already picked North Carolina to win, as you said, so I'm assuming you're sticking with that pick.
Yes, I'll roll with it.
Yeah, no need in changing now, right?
Why not? Go down with the ship.
Why not? Why change now? All right.
Cool. Why not?
Doesn't make sense to me.
My bracket is so beat up that it doesn't matter at this point because my bracket is horrible. This might be the worst year I've ever had. I honestly think so.
I have one team left in the Final Four, and it's North Carolina. And I had North Carolina losing to Kansas because I picked Kansas to win it all. I mean, there's a lot of red, Paris, a lot of – I was pretty good in the South. So far in the South region, I've only lost two games. I picked Cincinnati over Kansas State. I'm sorry, I picked Kansas State over Cincinnati. And I picked Minnesota over Middle Tennessee. Those were only two games I lost in the South. The South was my bracket. Everywhere else, it's like 300. It's just a lot of blood, man. A lot of gore. A lot of red. All right, man. Let's keep it moving. NBA. Had a little NBA action. Where are you right now with the NBA, Paris, as far as this last, 5 to 8 game stretch, depending on what team you're talking about?
Let's
go with the Bulls.
Most teams have about 9 games left.
Right.
When I look at the Bulls, I said if we could finish 8-4, I thought we'd get in. But then we lose to Philly. But then in typical Bulls fashion, we bounce back, beat Milwaukee. Nah, I can't call it. But if we can do what we need to do these last few games, we should be okay. Because Miami has a tougher stretch. But Detroit's not helping us out tonight because they officially look like they are pulling the plug. I don't know what the heck is wrong with those guys, but they are officially rolling over. They're at home, and they just look lackluster. So I think the Bulls should be okay. As long as they win the games that they should win the rest of the way, they should be okay.
You know,
started 30 in Cleveland. That Cleveland game worries me now because they look real bad. And you figure sooner or later they have to play better. That's why I sort of wanted them to win last night. But they didn't. So, you know, now they'll come in Thursday focused. Even though I know we usually get up for Cleveland, you know, that team just has to play better. They just have to. They don't have no choice. It's going to happen.
I've said this with the Bears. The fan in me can't cheer against my team.
Right.
Like, even if I sat here today and said, man, I don't want the Bulls to make the playoffs. I want them to go ahead and get in the lottery and maybe move up to 5 or something. As soon as the game comes on, I'll be sitting there watching, complaining about everything they're doing. Why are you doing this? Come on, you know, because it's instinctual. When you've been a fan your entire life, you can't just turn it off and on. It just happens. You watch and you're a fan. The fan in me wants to see the Bulls make the playoffs. It's like John Fox. You know, I remember we were talking about the Bears, and I was saying, you know, John Fox ain't going nowhere. They're probably not going to fire him. They can lose the rest of their games. And I say this, and I translate that to the Bulls. The Bulls cannot make the playoffs, and nobody's getting fired. John Paxson's not going anywhere. Gar Forman's not going anywhere. Fred Hoiberg it's not going anywhere. So I can't even say I hope we lose, so we'll fire the coach. Because we did that with Illinois. We were like, man, if they make the tournament, they might save this dude's job. We kind of need
right.
them to not make the tournament so they can get rid of Gross. But we knew there was a possibility that Gross would be fired. Not even a possibility. We knew there was a probability that Gross would be fired. I have zero faith. Like, literally, there is not an iota in my body that thinks that any of those three guys will be fired if the Bulls don't make the playoffs. So they might as well make it. Because, like you said, you're talking about 16 or 15 or possibly, like, what's the highest they can get, 5 in the lottery? They can't go past 5 or 4.
Who, the Bulls?
The Bulls, right. Isn't that the way it works? Like, they can move up to 4, but they can't move up to the top 3 unless it's the top pick or something like that?
Well, I mean, they could, but, I mean, the Bulls would have to basically not win another game for the rest of the year to even consider that doomsday scenario. That's why I haven't understood for the past couple of weeks when people going, oh, we should lose to get the lottery. I'm like, at that point, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Well, no, that's what I'm asking.
Really,
that's what I'm asking. If
yeah,
the Bulls finish,
the Bulls,
like, 14, they can only move
right.
up to what?
I believe we were saying it's like 3 or something, but that's not going to happen. It's like 0.1%
right.
chance. That's what's wrong with the NBA lottery system is that it's a lottery, but realistically, the way it's weighted, we really don't see that much change, you know, except for that whole Derrick Rose
right.
thing, but I think they were slated to pick 7th that year. But what we don't see is a team, you know, that went in 14th and they end up with the 3rd or 2nd pick. Those are things that you never see. So at that point,
I don't.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't hold out much faith. Like you say, I don't hold much faith that we're going to move up that far, in that high, even if we don't make the playoffs. But I think, you know, the Bulls actually have a couple of young players that could use a playoff series. You know, Bobby Portis can use some time in a playoff series. Denzel Valentine could use some time in a playoff series. I think, I think those guys getting a little playoff time is worth it. Specifically, you know, Denzel, because, you know, he wasn't even on the roster last year. So he's really just starting to get some run. So I think any extra games with added pressure – And when that level goes up, you know what they always say, the playoffs is a whole nother animal. I think it would be
right.
good for those guys to get in there and get some of that playoff, you know, get that playoff, you know, that playoff cherry, get it out the way, and then come in next year, start off fresh, have a new attitude, know what the playoffs are about. Even if they go in and get swept, you still feel that difference in regular season to playoff basketball. And I think it matters. In your opinion, because I like to make sure that we both, you know, we're talking about something, we both have our opinions on it. In your opinion, do you agree with what I'm saying about the young players in the playoffs? Do you disagree? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you should know me. I'm never one of these we should lose dudes. That's just not my mentality. I just think it's dumb. I think it's stupid. And I've never been into what we should lose. Especially like you said, where nobody's going to get fired. You know, nobody's going
yeah.
anywhere. You know, them losing isn't going to cost anybody their job. But at the end of the day, like I said, coaches are the fall guy. We get it. But to me, what separates the pros from college, you know, especially in this instance, is that we know that there are flaws on the roster. You know, it's funny because I'll sit there and sometimes I won't comment, but I'll look at Bulls threads and I'll look at all this stuff and I look at these guys and they talk about how Rondo can't shoot and nobody can create and Robin Lopez won't rebound and we have no scorer coming off the bench and none of these point guards can come off the bench. And then they followed it up with, man, Fred needs to go. I'm just old school that I believe in that no matter the coach, and we all know Fred isn't the second coming of Popovich. But no matter the coach,
no.
you got to start with talent. You need talent. And when you look at the Bulls, the issues is a lack of talent. You know, Jimmy Butler sort of stuck in a position where he has to walk that fine line between making sure everybody is involved. But as we saw against the Sixers, there are certain times where it was like him and Nico were the only two dudes that came to play. And it wasn't that the other guys weren't trying. It's just certain games you see the flaws. You know, they stick out like warts. And it looks bad. You know, you see the 14-point quarters. You see the 16-point quarters. So the whole key moving forward is this summer, you know, to make a couple of shrewd moves, retool the roster, and then get ready for the big summer of 2018 when you got about, you know, $50 million in cap space to where if you're lucky, maybe you can do some real dirt. That's basically what it comes down to. You know, maybe this summer you could add a point guard like a Jeff Teague or someone of that ilk. You know, bring back Nico, maybe add another player like a Will Barton, you know, and with the growth that maybe Bobby Portis gets better, Denzel Valentine, I'm sure they will, you know, just based off experience, then your team grows that way and more cohesion.
Right.
You know, the only thing I really got to say is that next year, no matter what, my only real problem with Fred has been the back and forth of the players, because that's never healthy. Whereas, you know,
are you referring to the lineup?
It's sort of a fine line, because in a way,
okay,
I can understand his frustration, because I can see it. You know, I can see where it's like, oh my God, I'm juggling.
He's trying to find something.
He's trying, yeah. but at a certain time, you know, you just got to find it. You know, he did it a couple of weeks ago. I wish you did it earlier, where you just find it. You put your foot down and you say, hey, this is what we're running with. You know, this is it. We go down. What the hey? This is my starting five. These are my next four off the bench. And if we go down, this is what I'm going down with. It just be done with it. You know, that's the only part to me that was really, really frustrating this year, you know, to sort of see guys, you know, back before. Like I said, and Nico should have never been benched. That's just Nico being Nico. Nico's been doing that for a couple years now. But the past 3 weeks, Nico has shown how valuable he can be. And this team needs Nico.
True.
You know, we don't have enough history of taking somebody to score 20 points and saying, nah, we're not going to play you tonight. We don't have that, you know, we don't have that luxury. So hopefully
this is true.
That's the only thing that you can sort of hope for moving forward.
All right. Well, check this out real quick. We have a caller that wants to get in the 310 area code down to our last 17 minutes or so. 310 area code, you're on Paris. Who is this?
How's it going, guys? This is Tom. How you doing?
Hey,
what's up, man?
Long time no speak.
How you doing? How you doing? You guys are talking
good,
the Bulls, huh? You guys both
well, I have a feeling you want to talk the Lakers.
Yeah. There you go. Nothing to say. I just hope we keep losing. I'm going to keep losing. I don't even. I mean, we got a family feud going on. We got. We're losing still. There's not much to talk about, but I can talk the Bulls. I guess.
All right, let's go. What you got?
Nice to talk other teams that are having problems, so I can forget about ours.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I mean,
that.
I guess this. I guess it's a build off that, right? I mean, like, I think the one thing, and I tuned in five minutes ago or so, but the one thing I didn't hear touched on is just, like, the people you can blame on the Bulls is that front office, because it's just, like, so consistent.
Oh, yeah, we talked about
them. Okay, yeah, because, I mean, when they put that team together earlier this year, it's like they were drafting a fantasy team from, like, 2009. Like, it's almost like you put Rondo and Wade together. It's like, is there in the modern NBA, and you add Butler in there, who, like, he can pretty good shooter. He's not, like, a detrimental shooter, but you're not, like, you know, by no means are you calling Jimmy Butler one of the top three-point shooters in the NBA, right? Like, he's just an all-around amazing player, but he's not known for his, like, shooting. And you're taking, like, a modern NBA where, like, the three-pointer is so obviously key. And you're putting together Rondo, a guy who's scared to even get to the foul line, nonetheless shoot a three. Wade's amazing, and he still is excellent, but, I mean, you know, he's a guy that needs the ball in his hands constantly and has never been known for being able to shoot the three or actually spread the floor. And then you take Butler, who's amazing, but needs the ball in his hands. I mean, he's no doubt one of the best two-way players in the entire league. I have nothing bad to say about him. But it's like you're building this team where I would agree with you. I never think losing is the right thing to do, but you should also never put your organization in a situation where you should have to lose on purpose. And what I'm saying about that is, like, the team that they built this year was, like, so clearly an eight seed or a seventh seed or a non-playoff team. And that's really the worst place you can be in the NBA right now, right? So I would say that, yes, it's not a bad idea to get rookies playoff minutes. Portis is a nice player. Denzel Valentine is a nice player. But to me, that kind of stuff is important for, like, your young up-and-coming stars, right? If you have, like, Kevin Durant and Westbrook on the same team and, you know, it's either we don't make the playoffs or you make the eighth seed, it's like, yeah, make the playoffs. Get those guys some reps. Forget your ridiculous 0.1% chance you're going to get a number one pick. But it's like, I don't know if you do that for Bobby Portis and Denzel Valentine. It's like, if those guys are ever playing, like, big-time minutes for you in the playoffs, you're probably not going super far in the playoffs.
I'll say this from my standpoint, and I'll let Paris respond in his way. The thing for me is whether or not – I would not compare them to Russ and KD, obviously. But these guys are going to be on our roster next year. And the last thing I want is for the Bulls to go out, make a move, bring in a player, guys improve, and then maybe next year they're respectable, right? Maybe we're talking maybe the fifth, maybe, you know, fourth, sixth, you know, teams jump. Free agency, trades, draft, whatever. And then we get to the playoffs next year, and the first thing people will say is they've never been in the playoffs before. So for me, it matters. Even though those guys aren't quote-unquote superstars, they are still building blocks for us. There are building blocks. They're not KD and Russ, but there are building blocks. They're guys that if we don't re-sign Nico, are starting power forward next year unless they bring somebody else in. Denzel Valentine, depending on what the Bulls do with Wade, Denzel could possibly be a starter. And I think that experience is invaluable when you're talking about young guys, even if they're not superstars. I'm not saying they're superstars. I'm simply saying weighing the chances of us moving up in the draft to a pick that means something is less than the experience that they can get. That's just my opinion. Paris, your thoughts on that?
A couple of things. First of all, I will never think it's bad making the playoffs. And I agree wholeheartedly with Corey. Even though these guys aren't stars, that playoff experience, you want that. You want them to feel what it's like to be in those pressure-packed games to where it is everybody ramps up, everybody's rested, everybody locks in. You go into arena, everybody got on the same color T-shirts and they're doing all that jazz. You want them guys to feel that. So during the summer when you're working out, okay, this is what we're working out for. As far as the organization point of view, yeah, I just find it weird because I'm not sure how this happened or when it happened, but Tom said something that I hear all the time now. And that is, well, it seems like now in the NBA, you're either A, got to be competing for a championship, or B, win 25 games and be in the lottery. And I don't know what happened to whereas, you know, only one team's going to win a championship. But to me, there's nothing wrong with trying to put the best team that you can out on the floor. If those guys don't win a championship, okay, it's not going to happen. But I think sometimes we forget that a lot of these owners are competitive people, first and foremost. So when they have their meetings in the summer, they're like, look, you know, they're talking to the president, they're talking to the GM, and they're looking at the coach like, hey, look, man, I missed the playoffs. I want to get back in the playoffs. And not only that, each playoff game generates about $2 billion of extra revenue. It's over the top revenue that you don't count for at the beginning of the season. So there's that aspect of it, too. So that's why you see teams do things sometimes that even though they bite that way, you know, like Atlanta, get Dwight Howard. Atlanta know they weren't going to win the championship this year. but they still tried to put the best product out there on the floor. Now, I agree with you as far as a mix with the Bulls. I don't think, you know, in today's NBA, too, I think there's more than one way to skin a cat. And I don't think everybody has to play like Golden State. And, you know, you have to use a three-point line, but you don't have to shoot 25 of them a game. But I think the key, it was two key players coming into the Bulls season that was really going to determine how this thing went. And that was Doug McDermott, and that was Nico Mirotic. Because those were the two guys that were supposed to space the floor and provide the shooting. Doug didn't do his part, and Nico has been sickly inconsistent into the past, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. And that was the main issue. And like you said, Rondo not being able to shoot with Wade needing the ball and Jimmy. I would hope next year, because as long as Jimmy Butler isn't traded, Wade's coming back. So I wouldn't be surprised if next year, maybe, like I said, if the Bulls would sign a point guard like Jeff Teague and bring in someone like a Will Barton, because we won't have a whole lot of money, about $27 million, so can't go crazy. But maybe you could put Wade in an off-the-bench role next year. Now, I don't know if Wade's pride is ready for that. Now, I'm sure that'll be a very delicate talk, but that's a role I think that he would be good at, because first of all, breaking him and Butler up at certain points in times I think would be good, and I still think that he's good enough to whereas he can hold down your second unit. You know, if you got him out there with Bobby Portis, maybe Cameron Payne, you know, they're going to need somebody. So looking forward, that's sort of my vision, you know, going forward. But, of course, you know, now we trade Butler, then we're going, you know, nomad for 5, 6, 7 years. And that's another thing is that when people talk about this, you know, not to throw stones at the Lakers, but you look at teams like the Lakers and the Sixers, and from an owner's point of view, it's sort of a hard pill to swallow when you're going, hey, man, we're going to be bad for like 7 years. That's hard. That's why when it comes to building teams in the NBA and, you know, like the NFL, Major League Baseball, it's different because in the NFL, you can be bad like Jacksonville. You can be bad. You can have cap space. And you can just go buy guys. Baseball, if you're bad and you can get the revenue, you get a couple young prospects like the Cubs did, you can go out and spend $200 million on a child Lester. But in the NBA, you can't outbid for players. So it's going to be hard for bad teams, you know, to bring in those players that can change their organization because you might be able to offer them $30 million, but guess what? So will the good team. That's why I think a lot of times as fans, sometimes we forget that it's a whole lot harder in the NBA to do that tear down, you know, build up thing. And a lot of times I don't think a lot of owners don't have the stomach for that 5 to 7 year rebuild plan because those things sort of suck.
What's interesting, and I think you kind of, you know, you both made a you really just like described the conundrum that is being bad versus going for like a 7 or 8 seed, right? Because I think when I was hearing you talk about it, you really are 100% right, right? When I think of teams like the Memphis Grizzlies or the Atlanta Hawks,
right,
or, you know, teams that they're not going to win the title, but like it's been a big thing for Memphis to be able to fill that stadium consistently with a good product because that was a dead NBA city for a long time. And, like, they've been happy to have a 5 seed and go to the playoffs and have a chance to maybe win a first-round series. They know they're going to be out in the second round. I mean, they made it to the Western Conference Finals once. But, like, you know, that's the kind of team that knows they're going to be out, right? But it still helped the city. Like, at Atlanta, that's a – I mean, I don't know why that was always such a dead NBA city, but that's been as dead as it could be for a long time. And I mean,
it's dead because everybody from Atlanta is from somewhere else.
Yeah, that's fair. But I mean,
everybody in Atlanta is somewhere else. So yeah,
Atlanta's finally reached, I think, like another level where they're pretty good. I mean, I think when they were in that like Josh Smith, Joe Johnson phase, they weren't as fun as this like Paul Millsap phase. Because like now they're actually pretty good, and like they could technically beat anyone, even though you know they're going to lose to the Cavs or they're going to lose to whenever they face like someone really good, but like they're a much more enjoyable team. So I think it's about putting an enjoyable product out there. But the one thing I will say is that when you were saying it, I was thinking about the fact that like the Bulls making the playoffs is not as bad of a thing as someone like, say, like let's say the Milwaukee Bucks were just consistently didn't have their young core and they had a decent veteran team and they were consistently making the seventh seed. So the point that you just made, right, and I think the one thing I would go back on is that if the Lakers or Bulls become decent, and this is why if I'm the Bulls, like, you're going to have to pry Jimmy Butler from my dead hands because he has a good contract, and they're a major city that can legitimately attract free agents. The Lakers are a major city that can legitimately attract free agents. All it takes is one other superstar on that team. And all of a sudden, like, you are a legitimate destination for one or two guys to want to come and actually team up. Milwaukee or Minnesota or something like that, it's never going to happen. So for Milwaukee or Minnesota or someone like that to become good, I mean, maybe it's good for them to make the 8 seed, but at the same time, like, maybe I'd rather roll the dice in the lottery, not as a 14 seed, but maybe as, like, the 8th worst team. But I think it's just difficult because even though I say that, how many times has this actually worked out for teams where they go into the lottery? For every one time that there's an OKC that in three straight years drafts Durant, Harden, Westbrook, there's 70 teams that always fall out from the one spot to the sixth spot. There's the Knicks who either never have their pick or every time they have their pick, they're always one spot behind. You know, they're going to get Steph Curry, but he gets picked right before them. They get Jordan Hill instead. Like, there are a million teams that get, you know, that just it doesn't work out. Look at the Philly, right? Like, they've purposely tried to do this for years, and what do they have to show for it? They got two number one picks that have broken foots. Or they have Simmons who's got a broken foot. I hope he ends up being good. They got Embiid who – every time he gets on the court, he's amazing, but he's gotten on the court 34 times in 3 years. They have Okafor, who's, I mean, I think he's great offensively, but he's kind of outdated in the NBA, and they have a Nerlens Noel. One of those guys is currently suiting up for them, and their plan was literally to bottom out. So it's like, it's just, you're literally playing the odds. First, you're playing the lottery odds. Then you're playing the odds you make the right pick and that someone actually works out. So it is a much bigger long shot, but in reality, you have a better chance of that working out than LeBron James deciding he's going to sign with the Milwaukee Bucks. So, like, it's just tough. It's if you, you know, it's why in the NBA you don't really see – I mean, how many NBA championship winners have there been different teams in the last, like, 20 years? Like, five?
Yep.
Six?
Somewhere around there. Four.
Yeah, not too many.
Lakers, Spurs, Warriors, Cavs, Pistons are thrown in there maybe, and then the Heat. Like, you know, 15 years, five or six teams, and go further back than that. I mean, you go back to 1990, you're basically looking at, like –
And they all have one thing in common, except for the Pistons. They all had a top, you know, top player, top superstar.
Or many, yeah. I mean –
And that's the key. And one thing that the Bulls front office, while completely, you know, not exactly doing a lot of smart things, but when you listen to them talk, they've already sort of let the cat out of the bag. They've set up all these contracts because 2018 will have like $50 million in cap space, and they've already said that once this cap boom stops and everything levels back out, that they're going to be one of the few teams standing in the summer of 2018 that can legitimately bring in two big-time free agents. So that sort of in the back of their minds the entire time, even with the Wade contract and the Rondo contract, is that they're sort of loading up for that summer. You know, I know it's the Marcus Cousins and Paul George be a free agent, and a couple other real big-name guys. So that's already in the back of their mind. So I think that this was sort of like a treading water. Let's see what we can do. Let's see what can happen. We're going to take our big swing in 2018. If that doesn't work out, then, you know, hey, we'll go back to the drawing board. But, it's so much harder. It's so much harder in the NBA. You're right. And for everything that it worked out like OKC, you got about 10 teams that it does it. Because, you know, like for the Lakers, when I look at the Lakers and, you know, the guys in my sports group, we were talking back, you know, with the Paul George rumors. And I was asking these guys, hey, would you trade Brandon Ingram and the point guard, Russell, for Paul George. And all these guys are screaming, no, 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 no. Now, you're a pretty objective guy, but when I look at the Lakers, I don't see – you know how, like, when you look at, like, Minnesota, right, and you look at Cat and Wiggins, and you go, okay, you know, like, all right, you know, those two guys are a little bit different. You know, they a little bit special. You know, even if you look at Denver, and you look at Jokic, and you go, okay, the Joker's special. When I look at the Lakers, out of those young dudes, I don't see special. I don't see anybody right now that I wouldn't give up for Paul George.
I mean, the one thing I'd say on that, if it really comes down to that, you have to think long and hard. I actually think Ingram, his stats haven't been that good this year. I'm higher on Ingram than I am on Russell. You'd have to think long and hard about that trade. The reason that I'm most frustrated with the Lakers' previous offseason when they signed Mozgov and Deng to whatever it was, $40 million, was that the difference between – it was a disaster the second it happened. But the difference between Minnesota and L.A. is that Minnesota has to hit home runs on those picks, right? Wiggins has to be a star. Karl-Anthony Towns has to be a star because, like we said, they're not signing free agents. The key to the Lakers and what made me so upset about those contracts is that Russell didn't have to be a star and Ingram didn't have to be a star because the key to those draft picks was the Lakers never have top three draft picks because they're normally able to sign free agents. So theoretically, right, and I don't think this is super far from the truth. I might be optimistic, but I do think this is possible. What I was hoping from that is that Russell and Ingram develop into, say, plus-level guys, and then all of a sudden you have this nice, young, either role-player core that can sometimes step up and score 35 points a game or can sometimes defend the best player on another team. But now you have those guys along with, you know, Nance and Randall and all those guys combined cost $17 million, right? And now all of a sudden you have this young core that the Lakers never have, but now you have $80 million to go out and sign free agents. Where they messed up was that they signed Deng and Mozgov, who are just complete waste, and now you only have really the cap room to maybe sign one guy unless you, like, have to trade a bunch of draft picks to get rid of Mozgov. And look what happened when we trade a bunch of draft picks to get rid of other guys last time. We're still praying that we lose every game so we don't lose our draft pick. So, I mean, like, would I trade Ingram and Russell for Paul George? Probably. And I would say yes, because 5 years ago, I would have turned my nose up and said Paul George is going to just sign with the Lakers anyways. But that's not the reality for us now, right? So the fact is that, like, you're saying the Bulls have all this cap space in 2018. Well, what sucks is that OKC has already re-signed Westbrook. Harden was supposed to be in that class. He's re-signed. Boogie's in that class. But, like, I'm pretty high on Boogie. But, like, God, man, that guy just at some point needs to win more than 30 games in an NBA basketball season. And, like, it's just this – the well is drying up. Like, George might be out there. But it's just these free agent classes – they're not leaving as much as they used to because there's this crazy incentive for them to stay with this new, like, $240 million extension or whatever that is. So it's just free agency isn't as big as it once was. So when you have the chance to land one of these guys, especially a Paul George, who's 27 years old and arguably a top three two-way player in the league, like, you have to do it, but you'd hope you don't have to, because that sucks. Like, I'd rather give up any combination of either Ingram, Randall, and Clarkson or something. Ideally, you wouldn't give up both of those guys, because then Paul George comes to the team. You have no role players. A lot of that money you could spend on other players is with Mozgov. So, like, and Deng. It's just a hard trade to make because, like, then what do you do after that? Like, I don't know what the strategy is, but at the same time, you have to do it because we have to get a star here. But in short, and I do have to run, but I'm a little more hesitant to give up Ingram because he's 18. I think he works pretty hard. I think he'll add some weight. There's some flashes that show he's going to be good. Russell's just slow. There's just something just off about him. You know, he has games where he can explode and score 33 points, 34 points, but there's just something off about his game. I think it's just athleticism generally, and, like, I'd be more inclined to let him go. But, yeah, I honestly don't know how to answer that because I'm obviously a bit more attached to those players than someone that's
right.
not a Lakers fan. But, like, also – I don't see any path to where we get a star in the next 3 to 4 years. And if we lose this pick this year, I mean, we're really in some dire straits coming up. If we keep this pick, then we actually become interesting. Like if you put a Mark, because it has to be in the top three, right? So if you put any of Markelle Fultz, Lonzo Ball, or Josh Jackson, and you add it to this team, like, now you're actually starting to talk about there may not be a superstar out there, but damn, like, that's a pretty nice supporting cast for if they are able to bring in a couple people. So at least become respectable, which I'll certainly take at this point.
Russell Westbrook can be a free agent summer 2018.
Is that true?
Yep.
Yeah.
He decided extension.
All right. Well, we can both get our hopes up
Bulls
and then watch him probably.
Bulls fans are counting on him.
We can all get our hopes up and then probably watch him sign with Golden State or something. Oh God!
You know, Russ, I know you had to go. I'll just say this: Russ is the one guy I just can't see that happening.
I know.
I think he has too much pride. But I thought KD wouldn't have done it either. You know, because you know he made the big fuss about the big three. So, hey Tom, we appreciate you calling in, man. Thanks.
Enjoy it, guys. Thank you.
All right, brother. You have a good night now.
Take it easy.
I always enjoy when Tom calls in, man.
Yeah, it's always good.
Well, Paris, with that said, man, it is that time. We went a little bit long because the discussion was going pretty good, so I didn't want to cut you guys off. Closing thoughts for tonight, man. What do you have for me?
This should be a good weekend. I mean, even the geeks are excited about WrestleMania, I believe. Why? I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
you are over it. If you are a grown man and you're watching WrestleMania, it is not because of spending quality time with your kid, and especially if you own one of those belts. I'm talking a $300 to $400 to $500 replica belts. You, kind sir, are a weirdo. Otherwise,
man, you know the guy that pays for our show has a lot of belts.
And doggone it,
I'm not saying I hope he's bad about people with belts.
I don't
think he pays $300 or $400 for his belt though. But I can't front, man. You know, I watch wrestling, but I watch it. This is gonna sound real weird, man. You thought it was weird before. Watch this. I don't actually watch the matches. I just like the storyline. So like when the matches are going on, I fast forward through the actual wrestling. It's hard for me to care about pre-scripted athletic. "Quote unquote athletic events." I fast forward through the wrestling and watch the actual talking and the scripted stuff. That's what interests me.
So, are you keeping track of what's going on with Paige?
With who?
With Paige.
Who is Paige?
The diva.
Oh, man, I don't know, man. I don't keep up with it like that. No, old girl. No, I don't keep up with it like that.
Yeah, that's good news because she made a home movie. Look it up.
I heard something about that. But I'm actually interested in the Hall of Fame. But again, I'm not gonna pay for it. So somebody will have it on YouTube or somebody will post it on Facebook. You know, because the cats that we grew up with as kids, you know, the Ravishing Rick Rudes of the world, even though he's, you know, passed away, rest in peace, I'd be interested in that. But the WrestleMania itself, it's too long. It's too slow. There's nothing worse than watching a 25-minute wrestling match, man. I just can't do it. But that's just me. I can't do it. But let me throw this out there before we get off of here, Paris. MLB The Show came out at midnight, actually.
Okay.
I'm sitting here looking at it. It is a beautiful looking game. Baseball games are hard for me to play online, Paris, because you know basketball, you have a little control. Baseball, a cat can throw no strikes, and you have to try to figure out if it's a strike in like a second. I don't really care for playing baseball games online with other people, but I am looking forward to seeing this Ken Griffey thing. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna ask you the question I ask every year when this game comes out. I know they have a franchise mode, correct?
Mine is still downloaded. They do have a story, they have a franchise mode, story mode, the show mode.
So in the franchise mode, you know, you have your free agency, you have a salary cap. I suppose you have real minor leaguers and all that jazz, correct?
I'd have to check. I'm not sure. I'll get back with you on that.
All I want to know is what I love about the 2K franchise mode is I can put that sucker in 29-game season and breeze through it, but I've always been told that on the baseball game you can't do that.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I know last year what I used to do was play like a game a week or a game a series depending on, you know, I might play the first game of a series and then fast forward it to the next first game of a series. But like what you're talking, and I'm not sure how big you are in the computer games. There's a game that I downloaded. It's a site called Stream, and I downloaded this game called Out of the Park Baseball. Dude, if you like in depth, I'm talking. Like in depth, they got the Negro League players on here. It's not like where you're playing, like you're up to bat. You're basically, you can general manage, you can be a manager, you can, you know, pitch by pitch, however you want to do it. I just got it a couple of days ago. I really haven't had a chance to get too deep into it. I'm going to take the White Sox, I'm going to be the general manager, and I'm just going to make decisions, and I'm going to let the coaches play the games. It's worth checking out, man. I mean, you should go to YouTube, check out of the Park Baseball, and you'll kind of get it. You'll see what it is. It was like a $30 game, $30-$35 game. It's something that, you know, when you look at the reviews, everybody loves it. If you're into minor leagues and stats and you know, building your stadium type stuff and your dimensions and your minors, then this is a game for you, man. Out of the Park Baseball, you probably enjoy that more than the show, quite honestly. So, if I think about it, I'll send you a link for the YouTube video so you can get a feel for it. You know, just take a peek at it real quick.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you'll enjoy that. Real quick, before we get out of here, tell me once again, who do you have going to the championship? Let's get that out the way. I know you said North Carolina, but I want to give
North
you the chance to throw it back out there.
And North Carolina and Gonzaga with the Zags winning the championship, and I think I'm going to go hang out at the stadium and hang around and see if somebody drops a ticket on the ground.
Okay, I wish you the best. I'm not even sure how to take that. That sounds like you plan on knocking somebody over the head.
Hey, I'm just saying.
They just didn't want to say it live, so somebody had information on you. All right, brother. Well, we're going to get out of here then, man. Maybe we'll be back next week. I don't know at this point, man. But we'll see how we feel. So for my man Pete Dog, Corey G, we're gonna get out of here. Maybe we'll see each other next week. See everybody next week. If not, the week after that. If not, the week after that. But eventually, we'll be back. So we're out of here, man. Everybody have a good weekend. Enjoy the basketball. See you next week. Peace out. Chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling. Laying on blog talk, see what they feeling. Came across the barbershop, stepped into the building. Real life sports talk, real entertainment. Might not really keep his ear.